Let me start this all over here. Okay, now it's time for our weekly gathering, and our minister is Reverend Jay McCormick. And so, Jay, I'm going to turn over the mic to you. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here with us today.
Thank you, Lynn. It's good to be here with everybody. Happy Sunday, everyone. Welcome to the gathering. Hey, Dove. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to start out by saying hello. Awesome to see everyone here. And if we can just take a minute and greet ourselves and each other, greet us as one. And Lynn can play a little music as we get into the space of our gathering and file into the virtual pews here in our service. So I'll turn the mic back over to you, Lynn.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Lynn. Yeah, Lynn is such an awesome music conductor of these services, isn't she? I'd just like to take a moment to thank her for that. I could not, in general, pick all the great music that she's got there. Well, let's go over the statement of purpose of Awakening Together, which states that we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose. Awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. Now I'm going to focus on the first core value out of the five core values that make up Awakening Together. And the first core value states that we trust everyone is led by a unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is realization of the one true self. We live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening, which is something I've always loved about Awakening Together, because that is the way I've always been in my spirituality is accepting and seeing that everyone is on their path to God. Everyone is on their path to awakening. And each teaching may resonate with people in different ways. And that's perfectly okay. Because what one teaching for me that may be relevant for a period of time may not be relevant for me at a later time, but may be relevant for someone else. So it's a neither-either yet both situation, I think. And that fits so well with the topic for today, which is a section out of The Course in Miracles that I opened to called Dream Roles. And it relates to a lot of really important key elements of practicing spirituality in any tradition you have. It's a very core thought that relates to awakening and how we may awaken and how we may use those around us and participate in this awakening process by allowing them to be exactly what they are. So let's go into the announcements. We have quite a few today, so let's just start up here. The first announcement is kind of neat. For the first time, Awakening Together is going to have a 12-step facilitated group by our very own Stephen Mead. And, you know, you may assume that 12-steppers use this program to stop drinking or to stop, you know, excess food, sex, or whatever addiction that you have. Now, when what is considered as an alcoholic joins AA, you know, they do help break the physical addiction and encourage to, you know, take the steps that are outlined in these 12 steps. But there is a guideline that states that you should practice these principles in all of your affairs. So as part of the 12th step, that is the work of the steps. And this is discovering, you know, spiritual principles and applying them. That was like the original motivation for AA meetings. So it's more of a lifestyle and a path for spiritual awakening in and of itself. And so 80 years after the creation of these steps, a lot of 12-step people think that, you know, the steps are really just to halt their behavior of the addiction, of the alcoholism. And this is a misunderstanding of the program. And Stephen will, and all of his friends there, whoever is going to be helping him lead the group, this is going to be a 12-step group that goes beyond just the change in behavior. Okay, so, you know, this is exciting. This is going to be really good stuff. I'm going to try to tune into this if I can. I work during the day, but I'll try to listen if I can to get in on it. Because I think it could apply to me, too, as well as anybody. So, another announcement is that you know, Regina and all of us on the member board of trustees want to thank everybody here who did participate in the sanctuary remodel survey. The first phase of the remodel is definitely now underway, and changes are taking place every day. Lynn is announcing some wonderful changes that are occurring. So I think that's really going to help the room a lot and help our group in general. So these results were kind of summarized and put into a news item on the update. If you want to read it, you can go into the four members area of the website and go under Awakening Together News. You'll find it there. Now, if you want to bring a program to the sanctuary, check out the schedule under the sanctuary. And there was a suggestion by one of the members, Lynn, that instead of us staying open on the schedule, we can just leave it blank. So we might want to think about doing that. Just wipe out the word open and just leave it blank. but that's up to you. So if you want help with an idea, there's, you know, other ideas listed. There's books that we have here that a lot of members enjoy on the gift list for Awakening Together on Amazon. And there is about 40 different books listed there under Awakening Together gift list for Amazon. So the point is that, you know, think of an idea, think of a purpose for what you'd want to do in terms of a program, and come to Lynn with it, look at the schedule, and work it out. So we welcome that. And last announcement for today, this is coming up, our winter retreat. And this winter retreat is coming up, going to be with Brent Haskell and Regina Dawn Akers. And there's about 10 spots left. And this is February 26th to the 28th. It's the last weekend of February. In fact, right up to the last day of February. And this will be in the Abbey in Canyon City, right near Pueblo, which is very close to where Lynn and Regina both live. And I've been there, and it's a great place to meet, very peaceful. You got the mountains. It's a beautiful setting. And this is a rare opportunity to be with Brent Haskell. In addition to Regina and Brent, Jacqueline Eckert and myself will also be facilitating the retreat as well. So I'd love to see all of you there, and hope to get it filled up and we can really have an amazing time. I think that's going to be truly awesome to have Brent and Regina there together. He rarely does any kind of seminar, conference, retreat at all. So this was a very unique opportunity. So get in on it while you can. All right, so moving on to our opening song, I will turn it back over to Lynn.
Dark, and I'm right on the middle mark, just in the tear of everything that rides below the surface. And I watch from the distance 17, sure of the other's dreams of being golden and on top. It's not what you painted in my head. Much there is dead of all the colors that I saw.
I wanna dream.
What a great song. Thank you, Lynn. So let's come together in prayer as I lead us in our invocation prayer. I give my acknowledgement, dear God, that you are the presence in which I live, and every part of myself is within God. I know that my heart will be released in spirit through grace, unless I want to block love and thus imprison myself. In the name of my freedom, I choose your release in my heart and in the sight of all brothers, because I recognize that we will only be released together, united, as one. In this spirit, I choose to see me being within you, and all brothers within you too. I thus see no separation between God and me, and in whom all I see. In this I know I am healed. Amen. Okay, now we move on to our reading for the day by Lynn Johnson. This is chapter 29 of The Course in Miracles, Dream Roles, section 4. It's about a page and a half. Turning it over to you, Lynn.
All right, thank you, Jay, and thank you, everyone, for joining us this morning. Beautiful section of A Course in Miracles, Dream Roles. It's going to tell you a lot about what you think and the thoughts that we're believing here. So beautiful section. Do you believe that truth can but be some illusions? They are dreams because they are not true. Their equal lack of truth becomes the basis for the miracle, which means that you have understood that dreams are dreams and that escape depends not on the dream, but only on awaking. Could it be some dreams are kept and others wakened from? The choice is not between which dreams to keep, but only if you want to live in dreams or to awaken from them. Thus it is the miracle does not select some dreams to leave untouched by its beneficence. You cannot dream some dreams and wake from some, for you are either sleeping or awake, and dreaming goes with only one of these. The dreams you think you like would hold you back as much as those in which the fear is seen. For every dream is but a dream of fear, no matter what the form it seems to take. The fear is seen within, without, or both. It can be disguised in pleasant form, but never is it absence from the dream, for fear is the material of dreams from which they are all made. Wow, fear is the material of dreams from which they are all made. Their form can change, but they cannot be made of something else. The miracle were treacherous indeed if it allowed you still to be afraid because you did not recognize the fear. You would not then be willing to awake, for which the miracle prepares the way. In simplest form, it can be said, attack is a response to function unfulfilled as you perceive the function. It can be in you or someone else, but where it is perceived is where it is attacked. Depression or assault must be the theme of every dream, for they are made of fear. The thin disguise of pleasure and of joy in which they may be wrapped but slightly veils the heavy lump of fear that is their core. And it is this the miracle perceives, and not the wrappings in which it is bound. When you are angry, is it not because someone has failed to fill the function you allotted him? And does not this become the reason your attack is justified? The dreams you think you like are those in which the functions you have given have been filled. The needs which you have ascribed to you are met. It does not matter if they are fulfilled or merely wanted. It is the idea that they exist from which the fears arise. Dreams are not wanted more or less. They are desired or not. And each one represents some function that you have assigned, some goal which an event or body or a thing should represent and should achieve for you. If it succeeds, you think you like the dream. If it should fail, you think the dream is sad. But whether it succeeds or fails is not its core, but just the flimsy covering. How happy would your dreams become if you were not the one who gave the proper role to every figure which the dream contains? No one can fail but your idea of him, and there is no betrayal but of this. The core of dreams the Holy Spirit gives is never one of fear. The coverings may not appear to change, but what they mean has changed because they cover something else. Perceptions are determined by their purpose, in that they seem to be what they are for. A shadow figure who attacks becomes a brother, giving you a chance to help, if this becomes the function of the dream, and dreams of sadness thus are turned to joy. What is your brother for? What is your brother for? You do not know because your function is obscure to you. Do not ascribe a role to him that you imagine would bring happiness to you, and do not try to hurt him when he fails to take the part that you assign to him in what you dream your life was meant to be. He asks for help in every dream he has, and you have help to give him if you see the function of the dream as he, and this is H, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God, perceives its function. Who can utilize all dreams as means to serve the function given him? So the Holy Spirit can utilize all dreams as means to serve the function given him, because he loves the dreamer, not the dream. Each dream becomes an offering of love, for at its center is his love for you, which lights whatever form it takes with love. And that is that section, Dream Roles, from chapter 29. And I'll turn the mic back to you, Jay.
Thanks, Lynn. Yeah, usually when I come to pick a topic for any of the gatherings I would give, I always go to whatever book I feel led to and still my mind and open it. And I always think that what I select is so much for me, first and foremost, and for everyone too, but that I myself have lessons to learn and insights to gain from reading what it is that I read and what it is I select. And it's interesting because in the first part of Dream Roles, there is such a message of absolute, non-compromising vision of what awakening is. In these first paragraphs of this section, it reminds us that awakening itself is total. There's not some aspects of our life in terms of physical accomplishments or certain qualities or addictions or activities or whatever it is that we ascribe our attachments to that we can keep, and others that we don't like we can discard. What this teaching is offering us is the thought that to wake up, or the word used here in this book is escape, depends on not the dream, but that we awaken from it. Think of it like when you brush your teeth. I knew a dentist that once said to me, "Your teeth don't get clean because of the toothpaste. Your teeth get clean because you brush them with a brush. So I could have no toothpaste and brush my teeth, and the enamel will come off of my teeth, and my teeth will be clean, and I won't get any cavities, and I would have never used toothpaste. But if I put toothpaste on a toothbrush and do a really bad job of brushing my teeth, I'm still going to get cavities because I'm not actually brushing my teeth. So it's not because of the dreams themselves or getting better or my life being really, really something that I like, and all of the things in my life going the way I want them to, and every single desire fulfilled perfectly, which it never is, everyone acting exactly the way I would like them to act, never doing anything that I find dislike. That first of all, that never happens. I mean, you live about, maybe when you're about, 2 months old, 2 days old, you realize that's not really the case because you're crying and your body hurts. And as you get older and older, I mean, it's just the way life goes. Nothing ever goes all your way. It's never going to be everything that you like. But this is where the idea that we keep trying, we keep trying to make it better, adapt, make changes, learn how to manipulate people or change our way of speaking or being to fit in somewhere, etc., so that we can make it be the way we like and the way we want it to be, right? And that's what we usually pursue in life as what we call, you know, doing what we love in life, being happy, etc. But awakening is not about setting out to be happy through some external means of trying to do something in the dream here that is going to produce that result. It's more of a surrendering action. Because if you're in, I believe we are in just a bubble here. This is like a little bubble of reality that we call the Earth. I don't really even believe in like deep outer space anymore. I just think it's just here. I just think this is our little bubble of reality that we live in, seeming reality. This is our dream. But how do we wake up from this bubble, this little dream we're in? So instead of like deciding which things we're going to keep and discard to try to become happier, let's move through a process of committing to awakening in an absolute sense and just going in with that great faith, that great trust, that great openness. Because in this text, in this section, we're given such an amazing way to be happy, not through trying to make our life into something that we like, but through accepting everyone and everything as it is and letting it just unfold. It's an awesome idea. You know, it teaches us like we can try to disguise in the pleasant form different people, places, events, circumstances, or sugarcoat. But the things we want that we grasp for are all based out of a fear of unhappiness, a fear of anything. Anything we want, that we want to fill a void, a thing, a relationship, an experience, an addiction, whatever it is all based on whatever fear that's underneath it. Yes. It's all based on that. And we will find a temporary sense of fulfillment from it. You know, there's a great article I read once a long time ago that talked about the different lengths of time that we find happiness and enjoyment from certain quote-unquote good things that happen to us, such as we win $5 in the lottery. Well, that'll make us happy for like 20 seconds. We get a compliment. That would make us feel happy for maybe 5 minutes. The lights are all green on the way to work. That makes us happy for a couple of hours. Our loved ones really appreciate us. Well, that makes us happy for several days. You know, it keeps going up and up. We get a promotion at work. Well, that could make me happy for, months, maybe even a few years. Or I win the lottery. Most people that win the lottery actually are broke within 2 years. So I guess maybe 2 years of what they think of as happiness, and then they're suffering again. So again, this, what the Course calls lump of fear that's beneath all of these achievements, goals, desires, is what is wanting to be let go of. Because our relationships and who we are with in our life and how we expect them to behave is the primary cause of all these feelings of attack and defense that we have. Is it not? You know, we've created a function for them, a particular expectation of what they should do or shouldn't do. My girlfriend right now is back in South America, and she is spending a lot of time with her family for about 3 weeks, and she hasn't really called me or texted very much. So I started thinking, she's bad. She needs to text me more. I want to talk to her. I want to connect with her more. But for whatever reason, she doesn't want to. She wants to just connect with her family. So I've been letting go of that. Like, okay, well, I'm dumped for 3 weeks, and then maybe we'll reconnect after that. So I had to sort of let go of my own dream role that I assigned to her in this current time of my own life. Letting that go, yeah. I see that Kathy wrote on the board, hierarchy of happiness, yeah. So when you don't do what I think you should do, I'm going to attack you. And how I'm going to attack you is judging you, or ignoring you, or trying to do something mean to you, or whatever it is. Many different forms of attack. Passive-aggressive attack. There's all kinds of different things. Whatever your flavor is, doesn't matter. It's all the same. And so we're being reminded that every single desire we have, every single thing we want, we think is what provides us happiness here, is based in fear. So it's trying to pull the plug on the entire ethos we've developed in this false thinking of getting things and wanting things and wanting to try to make people be a certain way and get mad when they don't act that way, etc. And rethink that and just sort of let that go and let this change of perception, let this healing thought, healing feeling, allowing, surrendering feeling come through us and let go of the wrapper of this appearance, of this thing we want them to do, to let it go. And just love, and to allow. And so, by letting go of these expectations we have, and just extending our love, and extending our self in joy, we can then open the door for our own peace, and give a lot more peace to people too. Because if we don't attack someone in a situation where maybe you have historically attacked them because you decided that you're going to let this person be free and you're going to allow them to just be exactly as they are. And it's pretty much true that people feel loved whenever you allow them to just be exactly as they are. And when you're not letting them be exactly as they are, they don't feel loved. And do you feel loved when someone's being critical of you? I feel loved when someone's just accepting me for exactly where I'm at. And if anything opens a door for healing, it's that. Because when a person feels love, they can see where they're hung up in fear. They can see what they're doing much more clearly than if you attack. Then it just creates a defensive reaction. So it's all about getting into the habit of allowing people to be exactly as they are. And instead of getting angry, just close your eyes, take a breath. I mean, there's definitely exercises right here in the daily lessons you can practice, but whatever practice helps can really bring peace. I mean, what I did with my situation with Gabby was just to allow, just to breathe. I went into the feeling I was feeling and just sort of let it go. And I'm right back into peace again. you know, it's the old adage of when people act, you know, the way that I want them to act, then I like them, right? If you do not act the way I want you to act, then I do not like you. And maybe some of the time people will act just the way you like, and some of the time they will not. But awakening depends on the isness, the connection, the true beingness that is within us all and behind our consciousness, not upon what we do within this little bubble we live in of seeming reality. Because it's all like soy product molded as chicken, soy product molded as a steak, soy product molded as a taco. It's all still just soybean product. It's all still the same stuff. No matter what we mold our seeming world into, you know, the material, the atoms, which I'm studying the Kabbalah right now, there's a very specific, very interesting idea as to what matter is. They called it a shattered vessel. That all these atoms, this matter exists in which to play, is the generic substance upon which we create these forms. And we assign these meanings in our head as to what all of this means. And the only key to happiness, the only key to freedom, lies in me letting that go and allowing and being and connecting and smiling. And then I can like everything. Then I can like everything. I don't know what you should represent to me. I don't know what you should achieve or you should be doing. I only know that I love you. Let's connect. Let's laugh. Let's be together. That is success. That is victory. So let's let go of the flimsy coverings that we're holding to. Let go of the idea that the people in your life should properly behave in this certain way. And let people just be. Let yourself be. Free to unfold and let go and express and be in exactly the way you feel guided to in that moment. You know, the things that we've assigned in our mind as to what they're for is going to be how I perceive it, right? But if I let go of that and keep an open mind, then I can be used in ways that are perhaps greater than what the typical routine expected manner of behavior or comments are. I can be outside of the chained in expectation of myself or others' thoughts. You know, and there's a lot of ways in society where there are mechanisms that try to keep people within certain realms of behavior. If you have a certain opinion about a certain topic that's outside of what is accepted, then you will be ridiculed, or you'll be made fun of, or you will be excluded from a social group or included in a different group, etc. But if I, as a practitioner and an awakening person, I don't acknowledge those boundaries. I don't acknowledge the differences. I acknowledge differences, but I don't give them any judgment. I don't see them as lesser or greater. I mean, we all have differences in form. But the truth is that we're all one. We all have that beingness, that isness. And if we can see that and we can let go of the roles we assign to people, then we can actually be free. We can actually be much more free. You know, in the center of my being is love. And that takes many, many forms. And it's a choice. Every situation, it's a choice. When I encounter a situation and I'm going to the store and I have an expectation that the checkout lady is going to be a certain way, going to be maybe in a good mood, asking me how I'm doing, and this person maybe is in a bad mood, and they're scowling at me rather than being happy, then I judge them, saying, oh, well, that's bad customer service. I'm not going to come back to this store again. Or you can see it as an invitation, a call for love, and you can extend love to this person and let go of your attachment to the dream role that you think they should have. Or the bigger issues with your spouses, your loved ones, everyone you're with in your family, in your close relationships, the people you feel very aligned with, very naturally, the special relationships. We can gently and slowly allow to be scrubbed away all of the roles that we've assigned to each other and all the ways that we think we have to act around each other or say or be. And if we let Spirit guide us, then our way is clear to our awakening rather than the rocks we trip over along the path with all these fear-based expectations that we will want to cling to. We can just let go of. We can just open the fist and let go. Because it's treacherous to walk through stones and trip. It's much safer to walk on a path that's very smooth, where there's not stones and sticks sticking up out of the path that you can just trip over and fall. Because when I've gotten angry at a brother because they didn't fulfill the role I assigned to them, I have tripped over a stone. I've tripped over a log. When I stop and I allow this thought to be purified from me and just let it go, I can and will do this. And as I say that, Gabby just texted me, "Hi, sweetie, what's going on? I miss you and I'm having an amazing time." You see? Look at that. I let it go and the text comes in. Right here during the service. So, let's clear away the sticks and the stones and the tripping hazards from our path by letting people just be. And it can be a really neat journey where we practice looking at how we've expected certain people to behave and be and all of that. So do I imagine happiness for me as assigned to a role I would describe to someone else? The instant that person fails to fill that role that I've assigned to him, I will be miserable. I will be pissed off. I will be attacking. I will be a puppet. A fear puppet. A little sock puppet for fear. When I live that we all are. If we let that go, we take the rocks out of the path and can move in beingness and in connection as we walk and truly awaken, and truly awaken as we let go of these. So that wraps up the service for this morning. I would like to open it up now for a meditation and a contemplation time. I think I talked a little too long. And this is a time where if you do feel you would like to donate, Barb will put up a link for the donation. We do exist off of your donations. So if you feel guided to do that, please do. And I'm turning it out now over for the open meditation and contemplation.
The fishes are confused. searching for the seed. Find what you can't lose, she said. Be free.
Okay, thank you, Lynn. Welcome back, everybody, from your contemplation. And we'll move into a time now where open the mic up and we hear from all of you and sharing what came up for you and what thoughts you had during the gathering and what was stimulated within you as we talked about these dream roles and the different subjects that came up. So I'd like to turn the mic over and hear from you all.
Right, I'm just going to grab the mic. I tried to put my hand up. I don't know what happened. But thank you for this beautiful topic today. And, you know, when I was reading that section dream roles and thinking about how accurate Jesus is about the way that we operate, and you know, how well he knows the psyche of the ego, and how easy it is to fall for the dream role, the thinking that somehow or the other my expectation of your behavior is realistic, necessary, and useful, and that if you don't behave the way I expect you to, I'm going to be upset. It's the perfect way that the ego operates. It is. I have done a lot of work with this one, exactly, Jay, and so, you know, just coming to the point where I don't expect anything from anybody anymore at all, because hey, guess what? I'm not the boss of them, and I don't know what anything is for. It's so much simpler that way. And so thank you for this beautiful topic, Jay. I did appreciate very much what you had to say, and appreciate being a part of this particular service. So I'm going to let go of the mic and let Regina talk.
Gosh, my first time talking today. My voice wasn't ready. Okay, bring it in. So thank you, Jay, and thank you, Lynn. As I, you know, listened to you today and contemplated the sharing during the song, one of the first things that came to me was memories, and they're stories I'm not going to tell right now. I've told them before, but they were memories of, you know, when I held people to certain expectations, dream roles as they're being called, and they didn't meet those expectations and I became upset, and how Holy Spirit showed me that if I held someone to expectations, that was a setup for an upset and led me to let go of expectations and allow people to be as they are. And of course, as I learned to do that, you know, that resulted in increased peace, which is exactly what you were speaking about today. So I know that everything you're saying is true. And I also know that my family is very happy. I have a very, very happy family. And I know it's because everyone is allowed to be as they are. And they do feel loved, which is how you said they would feel. Not only, you know, Ron and Jasmine, but in all the years that Danielle was living with me, the same thing. She felt very, very, very happy. You know, so people love being accepted as they are. In fact, someone once asked me how I wanted to be loved, and that was my answer. I just wanted to be accepted. But as I contemplated, Jay, during the song, I saw this even in a slightly deeper way. As you know, A Course in Miracles is all about projection. And so as we hold someone to our expectations, as we hold them to these dream roles that we have made up, that is actually just a form of projection in that we are also holding ourselves to our dream role. We're holding ourselves to the false personality that we think we are. That's what's actually happening underneath the surface. So it's about more than peaceful living in this world. It's about awakening, because I cannot hold myself to the dream role, to the personality of Regina, the one who has these expectations, and awaken too. So one way that I let go of the idea that I am Regina, that I am the one with these expectations, is to let go of the expectations. So when I let go of the expectations, I not only set others free, and I not only set myself free from upset, but even more, I set myself free from identifying with my own dream role. Yes, the false personality itself. And so I am really awakening. I'm letting go of the dream entirely, everything about it, the dream roles for others, the dream roles for myself, everything. So thank you very much, Jay, for a wonderful sharing and the opportunity to contemplate it afterwards.
Oh, thank you, Regina. And great thought that our own dream world awakening itself occurs by allowing us to let go of the expectations of how we think we should be in any given situation. And I think of it as what I call being guided by spirit. That's how I think of it in my path. And sometimes my mind will want to do something, and I will hold that, and then I'll just check in and see if that's what is aligned with spirit. And if I just get like sort of no response, then I sort of let it go. But if there is something that arises in me, and it has a sort of resonance, you know, the Bible and other teachings say you can't trust your feelings because your feelings are the chemicals, the emotions in your mind and your brain. I'm talking about discerning between your emotional feelings and an inner guidance. That's a very still voice. The very still voice doesn't really have any emotions attached to it. The still guidance voice within me is just very still, and I have to sort of resensitize my mind, and we all have to go through that process to get better and better at living from that place. You know, because if we eat hot peppers all day for jalapenos on our eggs, we eat jalapenos on our sandwich at lunch, we eat hot peppers at night, we can't taste any food because our mouth is desensitized with all this extreme hot sriracha sauce and jalapeno peppers and all this. We can't taste the lighter, subtler flavors of food because we're deadened. We have to go to a 12-step program to de-addictify ourselves from the peppers. That was a joke. And so we can become resensitized to the subtler flavors. So it's almost like letting some of the extreme sort of ongoing expectation hurtling of myself and others go, so I can be reattuned to that guidance voice, that guidance thought, sound, image, whatever it is for you, that will always tell me to love, to allow, to express, to be, to extend. I do this even on, like, Facebook. If I get a message from someone I don't know, I always just go with where I'm guided to either respond to it or not. I used to have a rule where, like, I'm only going to respond to these friends on Facebook, or I'm only going to call these people up, or I don't have those anymore. Like, I will interact with wherever I'm guided to interact, in whatever way. And so I'm interacting with new people a lot in ways that I wouldn't have previously, because it's very asymmetrical. It makes no sense in the world. Like, I'm very talking to anyone, open-minded. I don't have rules anymore as to any of that kind of stuff for myself. I've kind of done away with all of that. And it's very freeing, because there's so many different ways spirit can come through, and this awakening process can occur in me by just letting go of that and not having an expectation as to whether or not it's going to be comfortable or happy or not. Just sort of letting go of all of that. Because another way that, you know, the ego gets involved with this awakening business is it tries to start, again, slipping right back into making a happy life, which goes right back into the whole expectation thing. It just brings you right back into dream roles. So the only way to truly awaken is to let go of them. And maybe there is painful or difficult thoughts or emotions that periodically may come up to be purified. I mean, once we go through the purification process, there's not going to be a lot of that anymore. But a big part of awakening is going through purification. And this is not necessarily pleasant when this is occurring. You have to face these things in yourself, and if you don't want to face them it can be uncomfortable to do so. But the path to true awakening only is through there. You have to face these expectations that you've had and let them go. And that, I think, is the true key right there that this message was telling us and sharing with us. Kathy, if you want to share, or anybody, I can turn the mic back over and see who else wants to share. I was wondering, Dove, if you would share for a minute on what you just wrote. I'm curious to hear what you have to say about what you wrote about I can decide for my own self. Would you mind commenting on that?
All right. Thank you so much, Jay. Love listening to your sharing this morning, and thanks, everybody. Gina, Lynn, just sharing. I'm just sharing my own experience when I say that. Whenever I come to a place where I'm not happy, I look at it, and it was a place where I thought that I could make decisions by myself. I think that's pretty much where, I posted a little bit earlier. I don't know if it's still there, but basically it says, respect yourself enough to walk away from anything that no longer serves you, grows you, or makes you happy. And, you know, the easiest thing that comes to my mind is, I don't want to have expectations, but all my expectations come from exactly what you're talking about, Jay. It's the rules that I made for myself, and who is it that made the rules? I decided what the rules are, you know, and of course those rules you win some, you lose some, and you don't really, exactly as you said earlier, you might have a 5-minute, I won something, but that's not where your mind dwells. Your mind dwells on losing something. So all that stuff comes from making decisions by myself. At least that's my experience. So I'll turn the mic back to you. Thank you so much, Jay.
Yeah, thank you, Dove. I appreciate that. And listening to your, reading your thought here too about respect yourself enough to walk away from anything that no longer serves you, or you use to grow, or helping you grow, or makes you happy. You know, if we experience a block in ourselves, if we encounter a teaching and we experience resistance to it, and we keep trying to force ourselves to get the thing we're studying or get the lesson we're facing in a relationship or in some other aspect of our life, I don't know if it is helpful to keep trying to force yourself to do it, because if we're forcing ourselves to do it and we're not feeling like it's serving us, then the truth is we don't want to do it. There's a choice there. We don't want to let go of whatever part of the false personality that's coming up for release, it's coming up for purification. We just simply do not want to. We have too much attachment. You know, and to me, the false personality goes away in chunks. It doesn't, for me anyway, it doesn't go away all at once. Maybe for Ramana Maharshi it was a very quick experience, but for me it seems pretty drawn out. Maybe my willingness isn't as quite high as Ramana Maharshi's was, or I'm not as prepared of a soul, or whatever it is, but I think it's okay to just let go and switch gears for a while if you encounter resistance into something that you need to just get some distance from. Because we can't force ourselves. You know, one of the things that I do is I go in to use root cause analysis when I go to practice, looking at going deeper when I encounter resistance. I'll ask myself, why am I resisting this? What is this triggering me? And just like the teaching today talked about, it's always some fear that will come up as to what the basis of the resistance is in whatever I'm encountering at the moment. It's always some kind of fear. Fear of losing something that I have that I think I need to protect myself from something in some way. And it helps me to sort of sort out all the false beliefs of the false personality and get them out on paper and hear myself say them. And then after I do that, and then I kind of come back to the thing that I was resisting, oftentimes with me there's just less resistance. It's a little softer. It's not as bunched up, and there's not as much pushback there. But I have learned that you can't force the process of awakening. I can only make ready my mind, just like the Course teaches about healing the perception makes your mind ready for grace. You know, we can't make grace happen by putting a coin in a vending machine and hitting the grace cola and drinking that grace cola ourselves. We have to let that come to us. We have to let it come to us, right? So this process is exactly as fast as it's supposed to be. And whatever my willingness is, if I've gotten distracted, I can come right back. I can come right back. I can return. I can continue my practice. You know, if there's these guilty things I think I've done in my mind, let them come up, let them see the light of day, let them heal. All the fears can be soothed. All my discomfort can be washed away when I trust the flow of oneness, the flow of God through my being. And this correction that the Course in Miracles talks about is really the letting go of the false self. It's the letting go of the likes and dislikes, of the preferences that are based on a lump of fear, just like it talks about here in paragraph 3. Lump of fear. Not the lump of coal that gets put into your stocking at Christmas because you've been a bad boy or girl. Not that lump of coal. The lump of fear that's beneath all of our projections, all of our little hidden things that we have, unconscious guilts, etc. You know, this is in a section in the Course in Miracles that is towards the end of the text. And I think this is towards the end of the text because it's more challenging to let go of the deeply held expectations that we have of other people for our happiness and of ourselves, for our own behavior. As Regina was pointing out, it's our own false self. I mean, really, that's all we can do is, I mean, these projections of others are within us. That's a big part of how we maintain this false self that keeps this little bubble of dream going. And how much work and strain and effort it requires to maintain a lie. Right? The truth doesn't need maintenance. The truth doesn't need more lies created to maintain that lie. If I have a false belief, then I've got to create other false beliefs to maintain that false belief. And then I've got to have a big mountain of false beliefs. So as I unravel and undo some of these, they start to crumple and fight with each other, and just we go through the process of purification of letting these go and letting them fall, letting all these false icons fall from my mind. and they take different forms. The truth is whether an expectation is about myself being a certain way or another person being a certain way based on my happiness, it's actually the same thing, because it's occurring in my mind. It's occurring within my thinking. And my mind is the one that is to be cleansed, healed, purified, and ultimately let go of. But we can't let go of something we think we want or we think we need, right? We can't let go of something we think we need for whatever reason. It doesn't matter the reason. If we think we need it, we're going to hold on to it. So a lot of it's a process of realizing we already have what we need. This extra added on piece of the expectations isn't necessary. It's a created value added, which really it is not value added. We don't need to have that there. The whole expectation myth can be ended. The ego will tell us that the world will fall into chaos without expectations. How far from the truth that is. Oftentimes I've realized that everything the ego tells me, the false mind, is exactly 180 degrees opposite of truth. In fact, perfect order will reign when we trust God within us, the spirit, the consciousness, the beingness, when we allow, when we practice, when we operate from that space, exactly what we need will be given to us. And the idea of I already have what I need is more of an inner consciousness. It helps me to let go of the things I think I need to be happy. It lets me go of the things I think other people need to be in order for me to be happy. It lets me let go of the things I have to do that I think I have to do in order to be happy, or the way I have to do them, or the way other people have to do things or speak or act. How can I be free in it, at peace, when I'm chaining others with expectations of all these things? If I just let go of those chains, I can then find enjoyment and flow with the river of life as it brings me through these people. And that is a being. That is a being. That is not a state of being. Not a behavior. Because it's not about behavior. It's about being. That's what I'm talking about. And that, to me, is how I connect with Holy Spirit, with God, with that inner peace, that guidance that passeth understanding, that lets me be invulnerable to attack and free of defense. That's the turning the other cheek that Jesus talked about. It doesn't matter. You're not attacking anything and I have nothing to defend. This is where miracles occur. This is where the place of real miracles occur. So with that in mind, let's wrap up with a closing song. And I'm really grateful for everyone being here. I'm glad for all the participation. Thank you, Dove and Lynn and Regina and everyone else that wrote comments. And I will sign off, turning it back over to Lynn for our closing song. Bye-bye, everybody.
Love. with your life. How to stay the same. Well, why do we dream in metaphors and try to hold on to something we couldn't understand? I couldn't understand.